Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Save America podcast. So glad you joined me today. Got another, I believe, an uplifting, faith-building message that I want to share with you today. I'm calling it the one hope for divided America. Or I could express it this way, the one thing that will save a divided America. And I think you all will agree that America today seems hopelessly divided. I have not seen such hatred and animosity among different groups in my lifetime. And I lived through the 1960s with its assassinations, race riots, and a very unpopular war, the Vietnam War, that provoked widespread protest. In just a five-year period there in the 1960s, we had the assassination of a president, John F. Kennedy, the assassination of a presidential candidate and former senator, Robert F. Kennedy, and the assassination of a civil rights icon, Dr. Martin Luther King. But today, the cultural, the moral, the political division is running deeper than any time in our country's history. The only thing that would compare with it would be the time of the Civil War and the time in 18th century colonial America just before America was founded as a nation. Now, the answer for those two times in history that would compare and perhaps even run deeper, the answer for those was an answer from heaven. In each of those situations, there was a divine awakening. There was a great awakening. There was a first great awakening in colonial America, and then there was a third great awakening, sometimes called the Great Prayer Awakening. I actually wrote a book about it called The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58 that brought America through a horrible civil war. Hundreds of thousands of people died on American soil, an incredible thing. But in each situation, there was not a political answer. There was not an educational answer. The answer was the gospel of Jesus Christ, prayer, and God answering with a divine awakening from heaven. You know, there's a scripture. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he was speaking of the great division of humanity, that for him was Jew and Gentile. There seemed in the natural no way those could ever come together. But Paul said, speaking of Jesus Christ, he said, he himself is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of separation. Only in Jesus Christ and the working of the power of the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to lift up Jesus, can America be saved once again. Now, today I just want to address how the divisions that ran so deep in colonial America, how those were dissolved. Many do not realize the deep divisions that existed in colonial America between the Anglicans, for example, who settled Virginia, with the Puritans, who settled New England, with the Baptists, who settled Rhode Island, and with the Quakers, who settled Pennsylvania, and so on. In the old world, the Anglicans, and of course the Anglicans was the official state church of England, they persecuted Quakers, they persecuted Puritans, they persecuted Baptists, they imprisoned them, they monitored their gatherings, they arrested them, imprisoned them, even some that were put to death. That's why many of these groups fled to America. But in America, the Anglicans actually came first and settled Virginia. Then the Puritans came to New England. So there is only suspicion and animosity, and we could say even hatred between the Puritans and the Anglicans because of how the Puritans had been treated. But then the Quakers and the Baptists, the Puritans persecuted the Quakers and the Baptists, even put some of them in jail, Some of them, they even hung. And so there was great animosity of the Quakers and the Baptists towards the Puritans and the Anglicans. And the Anglicans also, we know from the fact that even in the early 1700s, Anglicanism was the official church in Virginia. And they jailed Baptist preachers because they did not have a license from the state colony to preach. And of course, the Quakers and the Baptists, they looked upon the Anglican church and even the Puritans as the harlot church, the false harlot church of Revelation. I mean, the divisions ran very deep. But God's answer for this was a great awakening. There would never have been an America, a United States of America, if there had not been that great awakening. Because there was so much animosity and distrust between the various groups had settled the different colonies along the eastern seaboard. But in the 1700s, beginning in 1726, there was an awakening that began in the New Jersey area. And it spread into New York and in what they call the Middle Colonies. And lo and behold, it seemed there was a breaking down of some of the denominational walls through this awakening. And then revival broke out in New England with the Congregationalists, who were the descendants of the Puritans, and Jonathan Edwards. But then what really brought the awakening, which spread it up and down the eastern seaboard, was a young fellow, 25-year-old, George Whitefield, who had graduated from Oxford, been ordained by the Anglican Church, yes. But he had had a real encounter with God at Oxford, and he had become a part of what was called the Holy Club at Oxford, which were the Methodists, started by John and Charles Wesley. They started the Holy Club at Oxford. And they would meet together for prayer, and Whitefield had a born-again, powerful encounter with God. And he said that after this, he said, "I began to read my Bible on my knees, praying over, if possible, every word and every sentence." So he was so hungry and passionate for God. And he came to America, and he loved to travel, and he traveled up and down the eastern seaboard. He made 7 different visits to America and traveled up and down the eastern seaboard from Georgia to Maine, preaching up and down all along the way. And Benjamin Franklin, one of America's preeminent founding fathers, tells of what happened when Whitefield came to his hometown of Philadelphia in 1739. And I'll just read this to you. He said, "In 1739, there arrived among us from Ireland." Actually, he wasn't from Ireland. It's possible he was preaching in Ireland and sailed from Ireland to come to America at the time, but he was actually British. But he said, in 1739, this is in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, "There arrived among us from Ireland the Reverend Mr. Whitefield, who made himself there famous as an itinerant preacher." Now listen to this. Whitefield says, "The multitudes of all sects and denominations that attended his sermons were enormous." Whitefield, even though he was an Anglican and identified with the Methodist revival, he did not have a denominational bone in his body. He would fellowship with Baptists, with Quakers, with Presbyterians, as long as they acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Lord. And were open to him, he would have wonderful and sweet fellowship with people of all denominations. And so he let this be known in his preaching, and he was a very powerful orator. And as Franklin wrote, "The multitudes of all sects and denominations that attended his sermons were enormous." So here we see the denominational walls coming down. He says, and Franklin goes on to say and tell about the impact of his time there. "It was a matter of speculation to me, who was one of the number, to observe the extraordinary influence of his oratory and his hearers. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious, so that One could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street. So Philadelphia, as were other towns up and down the eastern seaboard, were absolutely transformed by this great awakening. Now, one sermon, and I'm sure Whitfield probably preached this in many different places, but to make his point and to break down the theological, doctrinal, and denominational divisions, there was a sermon he preached, and Whitfield, in a sense, was theatrical when he preached. And in this sermon, he pictured himself as having a conversation with Father Abraham, whom he pictured as looking over the banister of heaven down upon this multitude of thousands of people gathered outdoors. And yes, most of his meetings were outdoors. The church buildings could not hold the crowds of commonly of 10 and 12,000. And this is when the population was only around 3 million. Crowds of 10 and 12,000 and as many as 20,000 would come together out of doors to hear Whitfield preach. And in this particular sermon, with this conversation with Father Abraham, he cried out, and this is in front of this thousands of people with all kinds of denominations there. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, are there any Anglicans in heaven?" The answer came back, "No, there are no Anglicans in heaven." "Father Abraham, are there any Puritans in heaven?" "No, there are no Puritans in heaven." "Are there any Methodists in heaven?" "No, there are no Methodists in heaven." "What about Baptists or Quakers?" "No, there are none of those here either." And so he went through with all of the groups that he knew was in his audience. And so he cried out, "Father Abraham, what kind of people are in heaven?" The answer came back, "There are only Christians in heaven, only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb." Whitfield then cried out, "Oh, is the case? Then God help me. God help us all to forget having names and to become Christians in deed and in truth." Through Whitfield's preaching, as well as other preachers of the Great Awakening, such as Gilbert Tennant, Jonathan Edwards, and there were others, but it was a very interdenominational awakening. Differences were melted. Boy, that is so true. I have been in situations where there were people who were at odds doctrinally, theologically, but the presence of God comes, the Spirit is poured out, and the differences are melted in the light of His presence. And in the Great Awakening, differences were melted, denominational walls were broken down, and for the first time, the colonists begin to see themselves as a single people with one divine destiny, as Whitfield had prayed. By the way, when he came to America, he said he came for the first time to the divided colonies, and he knew they were very divided. He said he came with a prayer, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit put this prayer in his heart, that America, instead of being 13 divided colonies, that they would become one nation under God. Isn't that amazing? That was his prayer when he came for the first time in the 1730s, and he knew that they were very divided. The prayer in his heart was that the 13 divided colonies would become one nation under God. And so by his incessant travels, Whitfield made the Great Awakening America's first national event. It was the first time the scattered colonists of various denominational and theological persuasions had participated together as one people in a single event. The historian Benjamin Hart said this about Whitfield. He quoted from Whitfield in Whitfield's final visit to America in 1770. He died in September of 1770, right after preaching to a massive outdoor crowd. And Benjamin Hart said, "The true spirit of Christ by this time had dissolved sectarian differences. America considered itself to be a nation of Christians, pure and simple." As Whitfield noted with satisfaction in his last trip, and this was a quote from Whitfield, he said, "Pulpits, hearts, and affections were open to me and any preacher of whatever denomination who had a true Christian message to share." It was for this reason that the late Harvard professor Perry Miller said, the Declaration of 1776 was a direct result of the preaching of the evangelists of the Great Awakening. Their preaching dissolved, and the Spirit of God being poured out dissolved and melted the differences, and the 13 divided colonies became one nation under God. Well, this happened to such an extent that a British appointed governor, he was the governor of Connecticut, he wrote to his superiors in England. And he said this, if you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none, nor any governor but Jesus Christ. He will tell you what denomination he belongs to or what church he attends. He will tell you that he has no governor but Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. We have these Marxist-incited, anti-Israel, anti-America, anti-Christian protests going on in the university campuses in many parts of America. There is such deep hatred and animosity between the political parties. There are doctrinal, cultural, moral divisions. Thousands of churches leaving the United Methodist Church because the United Methodist Church has chose to embrace woke ideology, transgenderism, same-sex marriage, homosexual clergy, all that goes with it. There is so much division today, but we as God's people hold the key. We as a church hold the only message that can restore civility and harmony to the nation. We therefore must not allow ourselves to be intimidated by the anti-Christian rhetoric of the modern world. Be bold. Preach Jesus. Witness to him and of his grace and of his power. And pray for the reign of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon this nation. This is the key for saving America. This is the one hope for a divided America. We must have another heaven-sent great awakening. Lord, we thank you today that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you for everyone listening to this episode. And Lord, you have saved America from ruin again and again, and it was always the same way. There was a remnant of people who cried out to you to pour out your spirit and to visit the nation once again, and you answered their prayers. And Lord, we're praying that you will do it again. Visit this nation once again, oh God, with your presence and your power, we pray. Save America, we pray, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. If you want to read more about what I was talking about, the Great Awakening, check out my books, especially 1726, The Year That Defined America, also America's Revival Heritage, also Pilgrims and Patriots, second edition. These books give some very detailed account about the Great Awakenings that have impacted America, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Check out my website. These books are also not only on Amazon, but my website at eddiehyatt.com. God bless you. I'll see you next time.